2021 is at the epicenter.
That pivotal moment in the history of this industry.
How much THC does it have in it?
It's not even an ensemble. It's a symphony.
There you go.
500 compounds.
I specifically moved to California to be in cannabis.
This industry's moving fast.
You want to show or not?
Yeah.
And now it's time for the greatest podcast in the world, the 421 Show, with your favorite hosts, Aaron Silverman and Danny Keith. Gentlemen, your mics are hot.
Are we live?
We're live.
Oh, great.
I'm going to start now.
Okay.
Welcome back to another episode of 421 live on location here at New West Summit 5, October 11, 2019. And as usual, my partner in dime, Danny Keith.
Is it five because it's the fifth one?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah. I just want to make sure I was on point.
Yeah. And today we're also joined in studio from Casual Debate, Joanna Newton. Thanks for being here.
Certainly. And happy to be back.
Yes, glad to have you. And then Meryl Gilbert, you are here on the show. You make a business out of transparency.
We are.
Tell us who we are. Let's start right there.
Great. So I am the co-founder and CEO of Trace Trust, and we make edibles credible. And basically we do that a couple of different ways. But number one is... We have two certification programs coming out. These are third party, just like non-GMO or organic, called a True Dose, which is for cannabis, and HGMP for hemp-derived products. We believe that the biggest risk in this industry is unpredictable, not having trust in the supply chain. We are seeing it every single day right now with this vape issue and the illegal market. Like, those are products that are not regular, you know, anything that is from a licensed producer in a licensed state at a licensed dispensary or delivery service has been rigorously tested. And that other stuff has not. You don't know where it's coming from. And so that's why it's not surprising that it still has pesticides or trace metals in it. And that's where we're having problems. So our work is around doing that. There is nothing to indicate to the consumer and even to the retailer products that go beyond regulatory requirements, that already have good manufacturing processes, that follow strong SOPs, that have a verified supply chain of all ingredients, not just their cannabis or hemp, and then how their label, not just what it says, but how, what are the instructions for use, and then how easy is it for you to understand those instructions, particularly in anything ingestible, right? So, and now the great part of where we are is that the extraction, well, one, the plants themselves, you know, we're understanding more and more as we get to open up these legal markets and study, but we are also getting to the point where you can really determine for people that don't want to smoke and have that experience, how the onset and offset will be. Where do I want to consume it? How do I want it? So socializing it. Beverages are very big because we have this wonderful nanotechnology that really has figured out how to isolate, but more importantly, water soluble. So a beverage is something we all do.
And sure, we all drink.
And now it's a way for... But the consumer has got a lot of misinformation.
No, it was awesome because I think now we've set the stage for this incredible interview, which I know you're chomping at the bit to start jumping into.
Yes, I know.
It's been great to talk with you.
That's such an honor. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm gonna let you take it from here, but I just want to say how important it is what you're doing, because I think there's a lot of trust that hasn't been built for a long time between consumers and cannabis or potential consumers because of that one bad experience with an edible.
Yes.
And they could never trust cannabis again. And there's this obligation to provide an experience that you can trust and replicate and feel safe about. And I think it's great what you're doing. It'll help bring more folks into cannabis. So, all right, I just wanted to say that.
Yeah,
I know,
no, totally.
You've been waiting patiently.
Well, so I'm a cannabis lifestyle guide. So I'm in the business of Canna Confidence. And I see so many people that don't go into the dispensary because of the price tag attached to it. So I recently did an episode talking about the importance of what you're doing and this manufacturing oversight, if you will, and showing that to a consumer so that they can understand why this price point differential is something. It's like you're investing that extra $5 or $10 in your health,
right?
You know, and so whenever you are working with these manufacturers, these brands, to get to that point, I know there's a lot of difficulty right now because the regulations have been set, but people don't necessarily have the funding yet to get on board. So how do you kind of dive in and dip into a brand and say, like, hey, let's let's take a look at your practices and what you're doing and create something that is then that the consumer can understand.
Great question. And so there's a couple of things to unpack there. So one, for the consumer themselves, is we live it. Okay, we have been in this for 4 years, and we came from food and beverage manufacturing and food safety and compliance. So we know how to, you know, if you want to grow something, put it on a plate, put it in a box, put it on a shelf. We know not only know how to help you design that, but we know more importantly how to actually make it and how to make it safely. And if you think about a retailer in like the grocery or the furniture goods, like or electronics, those all have third-party certifications. We do not have that for this. And those retailers, big box stores, do not take anything in that does not say this was made safely this is, you know, gone through testing. And so the ISO, which is the standard for lab testing, is where everybody is going. But we are still, we don't even share the same language. We don't share the same terminology. So we are very much about the education for all of us, because for this industry to be what all of us have worked for and envisioned for the future, we have got to make sure that it's a safe, a good place for people to be and to come into this. We have great data, like we have real data now too. Like we know the consumer is older and that they are being more women and women at different points in their life. And so you've got that and you've got to have experiences that they can trust. So if I want to take this to relax and I have small children, I cannot risk being asleep on the couch or like getting more anxious and crazy, you know, the whole idea. So I have to have a predictable experience and I want that, but one, I don't know where to get it. I'm still a little ashamed of how to ask. I go, you know, I might not go. So people are relying on their friends.
Oh my God.
I just lost my water. I didn't drop a load, it was just my water.
You want to take it should we take it from the top?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm talking too much.
No, no, you're doing great. No,
no, it's
when I start to smile and laugh, those moments I realize how behind we are as an industry when you're saying these things that are, you would think.
Well, I was so how zoned is this, in that
how
like
are we not done doing this?
Wait, are you?
We can keep going. Yeah, we're still alive.
Okay, we're still alive.
So this is
the thing, though.
So,
yeah, we use pineapple. Safe word.
But so the things that you're talking about, like we know that in the industry. What's important, though, is how the brands tell that story and translate that into the dispensaries. And frankly, it's also up to us to make sure that people know, like, this is why you buy in the dispensary. This is why you buy on the regulated market. Because there is going to be this repetitive, like, you know how much you're going to get, you know what you're going to feel like, and you're not going to get that on the black market.
And here's the thing is, this is still really new, right? Like, many of us have been in it a while, but it is still new. So we, coming together, just to talk about how we are pricing things, right? So if you can't charge $16 for a bottle of 5 milligrams of THC and compare that to, you know, $60 for a flower, that's the education, but it's also the point of entry. Like, so so the manufacturer, you asked how long has it been to get to here? And that's, so, you know, we had to bring the industry along to understand that this is important. But it's at a time where everybody's feeling burdened. And now we're starting to just finally get beyond just putting stuff out on the shelf. Now how do we communicate it outward? And how do we let people, you know, we got to think about the brand. You can't just think about getting it on the shelf, because that's all you're focused on, because there's so many hurdles.
Yeah, and I have a selfish question too.
Like, you know, there's the kosher mark, right?
On it's food. The same thing.
So how can we create, it doesn't even have to be necessarily acknowledged except for its acceptance, right? So if you were able to get a group of people, almost like a union, if you will, not union may not be the best word, do you foresee something like that happening?
But that's what we're doing. That's what a true dose is.
How do the brands go through that process?
They're in, right now we're in beta, right? And what that means is, we have selected some brands that we know make really good product. Again, people that have already come, you know, chemistry, bioscience, They come from either making nutraceuticals or food and beverage products. Like they already got that. And they've been doing it long enough that they've got a really good relationship with our lab. So their testing all the way through is good. And we know that they have good GMPs. And the reason we're going through with them is to work through the logistics so we can bring others in. We're also working in the beta with co-packing facilities, right? So that are white labeling for other people so that, again, those brands can come through, but they go through it. And then a couple of distributors and a couple of retailers to work through the logistics. Like, so because we're not going to ask somebody to repackage right away to put that mark on, but we got to tell the story, right? So we got to tell the story online, and then we will launch that out to the public, and then it will, you know, the manufacturers will have to pay to, but it's reasonable. It's not outside of anything like us. It's the same process, right? And the other thing I need to emphasize about this program, like these other certifications, is we are really focused on protecting a company's not only confidentiality.
Can we break? Sorry, I'm gonna cough.
Yeah.
I need water.
I dropped some back here if you'd like it.
So,
don't worry. We're good. Yeah.
So the other things that we really want to make sure that all of the people, not only in our beta program, but actually going forward and establishes there, is on the fact that this is highly confidential. We are very, very strict on protection of IP. When we're, you know, see those initial documents.
Talk more quietly then?
Yeah.
Such a joke start. So let me ask my question as a consumer. Like, I'm really into this drinkables thing mm-hmm. right now. As someone who's, I'm kind of phasing out alcohol because it doesn't make me feel like a million bucks when I wake up the next morning. But I want that low dose beverage, but I want to be able to have three or four of them when I'm out with my friends. Mm-hmm. But I can't necessarily afford $10 a pop, and it's not like you can go into the dispensary and grab a six pack. You have to buy, you know, one bottle at a time. And so what do we need to do? When is it going to be more at a reasonable price point where it is comparable to me going in and buying a six pack of premium beer?
So I think two things are going to happen. I think the hemp and CBD beverages are going to help do the gateway of getting that pricing, because those are going to be able to go out into the market for, you know, $3-4, which is what somebody would pay for an iced coffee on a shelf, et cetera.
Right.
And that it needs to be more in that price point. The THC stuff, I mean, it is still, you know, that extraction methodology and processing is still expensive, but where we're still caught up, and that's over across the industry, and you've heard a lot about it, is the taxing, right? It's just so, like, hard. One of the things that the work that we do when we are doing formulation work with companies, which is, you know, separate from the certifications, is we really have to work backwards, right? So what is so that the cost of that can before it leaves your facility is at the most reasonable price, so that the markup to the consumer doesn't go beyond whatever you think that's reasonable. And yeah, 10, you know, I think it's going to, in the dispensary, it's got to probably some be around 8.
That's
still
gonna be
crazy. That's a $48 six pack.
Yeah.
I can get a bottle and a six pack for that.
That's true.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy.
Like, yeah, and I craft beer is how much?
Maybe 12 at most.
Yeah.
Yeah, 12. You can find the $15 ones, but yeah.
But you're saying if we can get the production volume up, we can bring the cost down.
It's higher.
Yeah.
And you know, and you mentioned can, and I think this is really important to talk about, because if any CBD drink or anything is in a clear plastic bottle, like, you shouldn't be drinking it. It's losing its potency just from sitting on that shelf. And I see so much of that out there still.
Well, because again, there's this, you know, race, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a race to the finish as opposed to being really slow and steady. And so that's why there's a lot of bad stuff out there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, you know, things that you like will buy once. But you also have this opportunity for new consumers. And so, you know, getting outside, you know, having opportunities to be at, you know, bringing this more out into the public and starting to use, like in California, we have the license for outside Like fairs that you can go where you can consume. We have to start working together to be more. Outside Lands, a big music festival that was here
doing,
in August.
Yeah, doing shows like this is one of those,
yes.
right?
That's right. And that's, we've just got to, you know, make people aware that there's some really good things out there, how to find them, and then continue to normalize it in other social, you know, outside of our own world, right? And make it comfortable. And women particularly like that. They will buy from their friends. They will go with their friends. And so the people that are like making any kind of multi-packs, gift packs, the things that give you a variety so you get a little. Dosis has like a little kit that's like become like the weekender for people. Like, and that way, you know, you get to pass around and taste all their different strains and different effects.
Smart.
Yeah. So that's the future. Like that's, and that's why the beverage is that easy access and it's fast. So the other, when you start to look at ingestibles, there's such a difference. We look at it in three categories, and those three categories really affect how quickly it's going to be in your system, but also how they're made. And so the first group is all batch things, anything like a beverage, anything like that in a tablet form, any chocolate that is in a mold that easily gets delineated into a square. Those are all made in a batch and they're very controlled. Whereas the next is your irregular shapes, like your popcorn, your coated jelly beans, things that are not all uniform, right? And then, because that's gonna have different effects. And then the last is baked goods, because baked goods, a couple things. One is a reaction in the chemical of dry and wet ingredients baking. But also, you know, they take a lot longer to have an effect. So that's where people always have the brownie story. Oh, I took too much. So it's got to be
and
really
metered dosages. And those are all an issue. This is something I feel like deserves its own day worth of podcasting to talk about.
Yeah, right.
But unfortunately, we got to wrap this up.
No worries. Thank
Meryl,
you.
Meryl, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank
it was
you.
Great having you. I know you were excited to handle that.
Thank you. Sorry I had to call.
And thanks for doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Helping to rebuild trust with new consumers.
So how can they find her?
Yeah, how can we find it? Yeah.
TraceTrust.com, TraceTrust.com.
Yep. She wins the spelling bee.
Yep. I always feel like it's a test.
No, that's great. Perfect.
But thank you.
And they can find you on LinkedIn, yes?
Yes. Meryl Gilbert at LinkedIn, Trace Trust at LinkedIn.
Nice.
So all those wonderful social. Thank you.
Thanks. That's the end of 421 for this episode. We'll see you soon.
Thank you all.